Good morning. I'm going to make you sing one more song that's not on the overhead, so take the actual songbooks out. They still have them in the pews, for those of you that don't know that. Turn to number 533. 533. I am a sheep and the Lord is my shepherd, watching over my soul. My soul to keep guarding over me ever, watching wherever I go. And when the winds blow, he is my shelter. And when I'm lost and alone, he rescues me. And when the lion comes, he is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me. We are his children and he is our Father, watching over our soul. Great is his love for his sons and his daughters, watching wherever I go. And when the winds blow, he is my shelter. And when I'm lost and alone, he rescues me. And when the lion comes, he is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me. We're going to spend a little bit of time talking about sheep this morning. Now, if you're anything like me, when I was a child, I didn't know much about sheep other than the occasional leg of lamb that I had tasted pretty good. We had that in our house. It was kind of a specialty that my dad made. And that's really all I knew about sheep. I'd never been around sheep. I'd never been exposed to them much. I guess their sheep kind of have some stereotypes that we'll talk about as we go here. We're going to be in the book of John. So if you can turn to John chapter 10 in your Bibles, we're going to read John chapter 10 here this morning. John chapter 10 and starting in verse 1. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through it will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why should we listen to him? But the others said, These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, just tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. You see, sheep were a very important part of the possessions of the ancient Hebrews and of Eastern nations generally. The first mention of sheep actually occurs in Genesis chapter 4, where it's talking about Abel and his sheep. They were used in the sacrificial offering as both as an adult animal and as the lamb. Sheep and lambs formed an important article of food. The wool was used as clothing. Ram skins dyed red were used as a covering for the tabernacle. Sheep and lambs were sometimes paid as tribute. It's actually very striking to notice the immense numbers of sheep that were reared in Palestine in biblical times. I found one such account that said that a man had over 3 million sheep and goats. And besides that, he had 400,000 horses, donkeys, and camels. Sheep shearing is alluded to in the Bible as well, in Genesis chapter 31. And sheepdogs were also employed in biblical times. We read about that in Job chapter 30. Shepherds in Palestine in the East generally go before their flocks, which they induce to follow them by calling them by name. I was reading an excerpt from a thing called Researches in Greece and the Levant by Hartley, and he gives this example. He says, having had, well, as he was reading John chapter 10, which we just read, he kind of had this illusion. He says, having had my attention directed last night to the words in John chapter 10, I asked my man if it was usual in Greece to give names to the sheep. He informed me that it was, and that the sheep obeyed the shepherd when he called them by their names. This morning I had an opportunity of verifying the truth of this remark. Passing by a flock of sheep, I asked the shepherd the same question which I had put to the servant, and he gave me the same answer. I then had him call one of his sheep. He did so, and it instantly left its pasturage and its companions and ran up to the hands of the shepherd with signs of pleasure and with a prompt obedience which I had never before observed in any other animal. It is also true in this country that a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him. The shepherd told me that many of his sheep were still wild, that they had not yet learned their names, but that by teaching them they would all learn them. The common shear of Syria and Palestine are the broad-tailed. As the sheep is an emblem of meekness, patience, and submission, it is expressly mentioned as typifying these qualities in the person of our blessed Lord. The relation that exists between Christ, the chief shepherd, and his members is beautifully compared to that which in the East is so strikingly exhibited by the shepherds to their flocks. You see, we're actually called to be sheep. The Lord is actually shepherding us. We're supposed to take on the qualities of sheep. The meekness, the patience, and most definitely the submissiveness. You see, when a sheep is called by their name, they instantly, no matter what it is they're doing, they instantly leave what they're doing and they follow him. The same example is given to us in the New Testament. When Jesus goes to the disciples, many of them, when he calls them, they're out doing whatever it is they're doing, whether it's fishing or whatever it is, and he says, lay down your nets and follow me. And they immediately do that. Now, why? I don't know. If I was in that position, I'm not sure that this man walking up to me, who claims to be the Son of God, says, put your nets down and follow me. If that was my one source of income and my source of being a living, I'm not sure that it would be so easy to just do that. And maybe the disciples struggled with that as well, but the Bible account is clear in the fact that they did get up and follow him. We need to take on that submissive nature. When we are called by Jesus, we need to get up and follow him. A little bit more about some examples in the Bible of shepherds. I'd already talked about Abel, but Abel, who was the third man that ever lived, he's the son, the first son of Adam and Eve, he was actually a keeper of sheep. That was his occupation. That's what he did. And there have always been a great many shepherds in the world from that time to this. Some of the men who lived in old times had a great many sheep. Job had 7,000, which God allowed to be taken from him, but afterwards he gave him twice as many, or 14,000 sheep. At the time when Solomon's beautiful temple was dedicated to God, he offered a sacrifice of 120,000 sheep. Now, if you want to know how many that is, or think about how many that is, try to think of a pasture with 100 sheep in it. Now, think of that pasture 100 times. Or think of 100 pastures with that 100 sheep in it. And then think about that 12 times over. That's a lot of sheep. 120,000 sheep. And that's what he sacrificed to the Lord. So, to think about how many he probably had, if he sacrificed 120,000, it's a massive number. They had lots and lots of sheep. They were very important. Now, it is not common with us today to have people whose whole business is to take care of sheep. When I was teaching in Natoma, Kansas, I had a colleague of mine who raised sheep, but that's not all she did. She had maybe 25 sheep. She didn't, you know, she would sell them from time to time. She would take them and you know, get their wool. She would eat them from time to time. But that wasn't her primary occupation. She only had a few. We don't have too many of those anymore today. But during the Bible times, this happened all the time in Bible countries. It wasn't done by servants either, at least not most of the time. It was actually done by the people who owned them. For a great many rich men employed their children as shepherds. Rachel, who was afterwards the wife of Jacob, kept her father's sheep. So did Jacob's 12 sons. So did Moses for his father-in-law. And actually, the funny thing about Moses was he actually shepherded sheep for 40 years while God was preparing him to go back into Egypt to take the Israelites out. 40 years, all he did was wander with his sheep, and that's what he did. When God was about to make David king, he sent Samuel the prophet to do it by anointing him, or putting oil upon his head. David had 6 brothers, and Samuel did not know which of the sons was to be king. But both he and their father Jesse supposed that it would be one of the older ones. And nobody remembered even to call little David, who had been left out with the sheep, until they found that he was the one whom God had chosen. David often spoke of his shepherd life after he became a king, and even when he was an old man. You remember his most beautiful psalm, of Psalm 23, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside still waters." That is the way that they are accustomed to do in those countries. The shepherd walks on, the sheep follow where he wishes them to go. So Christ tells us, "And when he, the shepherd, putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." The sheep in many countries are in danger from wolves, which prowl about and try to carry them off. So it's necessary for them to watch them by night and as well as by day. You remember the shepherds were watching their flocks by night when the bright angels appeared to tell the glad tidings that a Savior had come. And they were the first to hear the sweet song in the stillness of the night when all around was hushed in sleep. The sheep is so timid and gentle that it needs the protection of man. And without the care of the shepherd, would often stray away and be lost, or devoured by other animals. David says, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." And in Isaiah we read, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray." I don't think we quite understand what it means to be a sheep or to be shepherded. You see, sheep will always follow their master. and they'll never follow a stranger in any circumstance. They will stay as close to their master as they can, and they will always try to stay in the group of other sheep. Sheep kind of have a bad rap. They kind of get the idea, people say sheep are not the brightest animal. Okay? They don't look, if they get separated from the herd, they are completely lost. They do not know what to do. Now, if they're with the herd, or if they're with their shepherd, they seem to do okay. Okay? Now, so we have that idea. We too are supposed to be like sheep, and Jesus is our shepherd, but far too often we wander off and get lost, and yet Jesus is always willing to come and find us. The Bible talks about how a shepherd will leave the herd to find just one sheep. In the Bible, it actually talks about a shepherd having 100 sheep, and one gets lost, and the shepherd will leave the 99 and go and find the one. He will always go and find the lost one. Just as Jesus does for us. When we wander off, when we fall down, when we go astray, Jesus comes searching for us to bring us back to the kingdom. We live in a world of chaos. And I think it was represented in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. It says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were harassed and scattered like sheep without a shepherd." If sheep don't have a shepherd, they just go off and they will not survive. They will be devoured by other animals. They will get lost. They will not stay together. They have to be shepherded. And we live in a world of chaos. We need to not only stay close to our shepherd, Jesus, but we also need to know him so that he's not a stranger. I want to reread John chapter 10, starting in verse 14, reading through verse 18. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. The command I received from my Father." I want you to notice one really important part of this passage. Jesus says, "I know my sheep know me," and here it comes, "just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." How well does the Father know Jesus? Let's think about this for a second. Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus was with the Father in the beginning, John chapter 1. Jesus sent the Son. It's his Son. He watched him. He saw everything that he did. He raised him from the dead. He brought him back to heaven. And we are called to know Jesus like the Father knows him. I'm going to tell you, I don't know Jesus that well. I may never know Jesus that well. But that's what I'm called to do. I'm supposed to know my shepherd, and he's supposed to know me. I can guarantee you that Jesus knows me. He knows my heart. He knows exactly what I'm thinking. He knows what I'm feeling. And he even knows what decisions I'm going to make. Now, I have a choice to make the right decisions, but he knows. And I'm called to know him that well. We need to know our shepherd. We need to know what he did. We need to know what kind of attitude he had and how he was a servant to so many. Jesus came to this earth not to be served, but he came to serve. That's Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. You see, I feel like we live sometimes in a constant state of motion, in a constant state of noise and distraction. These things right here, they ever get in your way of serving God? I know they do mine. Laptops and TVs and computers and smartphones and all of this stuff, it's all great. It gives us great convenience. I want you to think about this. If you have a smartphone or a tablet, I want you to think about, have you ever been sitting watching TV while you're playing on your tablet or your smartphone? Texting, Facebooking. You ever done both those things at one time? My wife says I can do four of those things at one time sometimes, which is probably true. Now, I probably don't do it very well, but at least I attempt to do that. I'm listening to one thing, I'm watching something else, and I'm reading something else, and there's always something going on. We get in the way of being able to listen to our Savior. I want to ask you three questions, okay? I want you to think about them. You don't have to answer them out loud, but I want you to think about these three questions. First question is, do you think you would recognize the voice of Jesus if he was talking to you? Do you think you would recognize the voice of Jesus if he was talking to you? Okay, question number two is, do you think you would recognize the actions of Jesus if he was standing in front of you? Miracles aside, if you were watching the actions of someone in front of you, would you be able to see Jesus if that was who it was? And number three, would you know who your Savior was if he was in this room, in the flesh, with us right now? Now, I'd like to answer yes to all of those questions. And there's probably times where I feel like I should be able to answer yes to that. Like, you know, we get that feeling in us that says, I would know. I would just know it was him. I would know it. We see the Pharisees, they certainly didn't understand that during the Bible times. And yet they were the most religious people of the time. They get a bad rap. The Pharisees get a bad rap for being horrible people. They weren't horrible people. They were people who knew the Bible, who followed the law to the T. They did everything they could to make sure they followed the law and didn't break it. And yet they get a bad rap because they were too legalistic. And they were. Jesus came and he said, you know, you need to get away from all of that stuff that entangles you, and you need to love one another. You need to treat each other with love. That's what Jesus came to say. And the Pharisees couldn't get that. But you know what? I probably wouldn't have got it if I were them either. They had learned how to do something, and they kept doing it, and they kept doing it, and they kept doing it, and they were great at it. And there wasn't anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with following the rules. But we don't live a life of rules. We live a life of love. We live a life of submission to the Master. These people were dedicated to the law and what the Bible said, but they couldn't get past the human flaws to see that Jesus was who he said he was. And in the end, they killed him because they didn't believe that he could be the Son of God because he was merely a man. The most religious people of that day could not recognize the Son of God when he was right in front of them. And he was performing miracles. He wasn't just living the life that he lived. He was not just being perfect, and he wasn't reaching out to those. He was performing miracles that were beyond things that could even be imagined. And then he was raised from the dead, and many of them still didn't believe. And yet we think we can understand who Jesus is without a little bit of work and dedication and submission. See, we need to slow down. We need to turn the noise down. And we need to truly listen to what our Father has to say to us. We're called to be His sheep. I can tell you, with the rap that sheep have, I don't think they could do two things at once. I think they would have to focus on that shepherd and where they were supposed to go and what they were supposed to do, or they were going to be lost and devoured by the wolves. I will tell you, there are wolves in your life that will eat you alive if you get away from the shepherd. We are called to be sheep, and we need to know his voice. We need to allow Jesus to know us, and we need to follow him without question. Sheep will not follow a stranger, but if we don't know our shepherd, or if we live our life without a shepherd, then we will wander away and Jesus will have to come in search of us again. Don't be the wandering sheep, but be the sheep that knows his master's voice and the one that comes when he is called. We are called to live the ultimate lives of being followers of the great shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 25, Jesus answered to them, I did tell you that I was the Messiah, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And because of that, I give them eternal life, that and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, because I and the Father are one. My sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. I know them, and they follow me. If there's a way that we can help you be more like Jesus this morning, please come as together we stand and sing.